Today's share is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amed Beis, two lines from the bottom. Hudamalu, again, we speak about a Shemira that had that assets, and the way he divided the assets was, but he said, Tilsa Labras, a third of my assets will go to my daughter, Tilsa Labras, a third of my assets will go to my other daughter. Obviously, we're speaking here about an individual who had two daughters, the Tilsal Tlas, and a third of my assets will go to my wife. And what happened here was that since, as we learned extensively in our previous year, that he gave his wife a gift, and once he gives his wife a gift, she is Meichel on the Ksuba, and there's nothing left because all of the assets were distributed. But here what happened was, one of the daughters unfortunately passed away, and he, the father, passed away without any children, and the Yerusha now goes back to her father. Now the question is, can the wife say that my husband now had more assets that he didn't distribute, because these assets that he got because his daughter passed away, and then he inherited those assets, should become assets that now are his and are available for me to collect my ksuba from? Or do we say that no, she was Michael her opportunity, she was Michael her ksuba, and whatever happens, even though they return to the husband and now the husband has new assets, it shouldn't change that halacha. Says the Gemara, Sover a popular Meimer, Lo Shakla al Telsa, that she will only get the third that was written to her and nothing else. Amle Rav Kahana, Ilu Hadar, what would be the halacha, as we discussed many times in our shiurim on this sugya? What would be the halacha, Ilu Hadar Kani? What would be the halacha if the husband went and bought new assets? So the halacha certainly would be, we've learned, that those assets, Mila Shakla, would she not be entitled to those assets? Because we said that the only assets that she was Michael was on the assets that were there at the time of this gift. But any new assets that the husband obtains, she has the right to collect the ksula. So the Kivin Dallah had the Shakla, so even if the husband got new assets, it's certain to us that she would be entitled to those assets. So the question the Gemara is asking, why should this be any different? She should be entitled to these assets no different than any other assets that the husband gets that she becomes entitled to even after she was Michael. And that is indeed, the Gemara says, the halacha. Next case. Again, there was an individual who divided up his assets, but between his wife and his children. But there was one palm tree that he didn't give away. So Ravina's assumption was that she was given everything, as she was given this gift. Once she was given everything, the gift, she was Michael the Ksuba, but since the husband still has this tree left, so the shibud, the mortgage that a wife has on her husband's assets for the Ksuba, that remains as well. Amalei Rav Yemel Ravina says, my Ilesla, Chadikla, Namilesla. If she's not entitled to a ksuba, and the reason she's not entitled to the ksuba is because she was Meichel the ksuba, so then she was Meichel the ksuba, says the Gemara. On the contrary, because if not everything was distributed, what we begin to say, says the Gemara, since if not everything was distributed, the halacha is that she is not, it represents that she wasn't Michael the Ksuba. So therefore, what we're going to say is, Miga the Nachzal Dikla, because she has the right to collect from this tree, so the halacha is, Nachzanamil Kula Nachzay, she will be able to get from, she will be able to collect from everything else. Because the only time we say that there's a representation of giving away everything is only in a case where of giving up her ksuba is only in a case where she indeed gave up everything. But if she didn't give up everything, then she's entitled to her ksuba. One of the interesting halachas that we find, and we've mentioned this previously, is that midaraisa, according to the original takana, a ksuba is only collected from karka. That means if a husband passes away and he left real estate, the halacha is that the wife, as we've been learning in our shiurim, is entitled to collect the ksuba. But there is a takanas ga'onim, goes back all the time from the ga'onim, and that is that the metatlin, the bezman hazeh, that even metatlin, the halacha is the wife has a right to collect from. Which would mean that, just like in our Gemara, we say that if everything is given away, that it represents that she was Michael the Ksuba. But we just learned in our shir, if he didn't give away all of his real estate, as we just said, he even left over one piece of real estate, then the halacha is considered as if, then the halacha looks at it as if she has still her shibud on the assets. So the same halacha will apply, explain the paiskim, that bizman hazeh, if he didn't give away all of his metatlin, since in the ksuba that we have bizman hazeh, the shibud that the wife, that the husband has to the wife, is even on metatlin, so there's no mechila on the entire shibud, unless everything was given away. Everything given away includes giving away all the metatlin. Says the Gemara. I'm Rav Huna. Shchimera shekosov kol nechosov la'achar. Shchimera that gave away his assets. But what happened was, it's not clear in what capacity he gave him away. Did he mean to give it away as a Yerusha? Or did he give it away as a matana? Because neither of those words was used in this transaction. Royim. Imroy liyarsham. If this person is a person that is a potential Yerush. The examples that we'll be giving, we're going to speak about it in a moment, is he has a number of sons, and his sons are supposed to be Yarshim. And this is one of the sons to whom he gave these assets to. Or he only has daughters, and she is one, and the person he gave the assets to is to one of those daughters. So then the halacha is Neitlan Mishum Yerusha. We look at this as a Yerusha transaction. Vimlav, and if the person that he gave it to is not a potential Yerush, Neitl Mishum Atana, then she gets it, then it's given as a gift. And this is the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. The Rashbam explains that the Gemara is speaking about a case where neither word was used. And since neither word was used, we explain that it depends who is the person he was giving it to. Was he giving it to a Yerush, a potential Yerush, the son among sons, or did he give it to a wife? Did he mean to give it as a matana? There we say he meant to give it as a matana in a case that the person he gave it to is a person who is not a potential Yerush. That's the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. There are Rishonim that learn the Gemara somewhat differently. And they learn Pshat in the Gemara that even if he was clear in the language that he used, and he used the word matana, but the person he gave these assets to was an individual who was a potential Yairish, that's enough to give it the strength of Yerusha, even though he used the word Matana. And this is very much based, as we're going to see in a moment, on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, where Rabbi Yochanan Breiker has been teaching us over the last number of Shiurim, that if a person gives a Yerusha to a person who is a Yairish of his, and he doesn't follow the percentages that the Torah said, that is considered still, said Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, an effective means of Yerusha. And therefore, says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, Genuve genuve lamalach, why were you concealing who you're following? Israel of Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, if obviously you're following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, so you should have said that you followed the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breiker. The Shmatzuch, as we just explained, your entire opinion is based on Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Breiker. We had discussed earlier when Rabbi Yochanan Breiker said the halacha that we just described. The question was, does this halacha apply to anyone who is a Yairish? That means if the person left only sons or the person left only daughters. But we discussed what would be the halacha if it was brothers. Where we discussed, going back to the beginning of the perek, Dar Sameach said, what happens if somebody's a Yairish through Mishmush? The brothers get it through their father. Does the same halacha apply? And the Arsameach says that our Gemara said Imroi liYarsha, that the only thing that we want to identify is Vizroi liYarsha. The Gemara doesn't begin to differentiate between what kind of a Yairish he is. So says the Arsameach, the fact that the Gemara doesn't look to make that differentiation is a proof that any Yairish, Rabbi Yochanan Breiker's halacha is Rabbi Yochanan Breiker halacha is applicable. The Rashbam explains, what's the question of Genuvei Genuvei Lamalach? Because in order, as we did, to understand this halacha properly, we have to know the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, and we have to add Rabbi Yochanan and explain how Rabbi Yochanan Breiker's opinion fits into this discussion. And his claim to him was, that why did you not say that you're saying that this is following the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan Breiker? Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggests is obvious, that we know that a person that says over the halacha in the name of who said it, it's important to repeat when you say halacha in the name of whom you heard the halacha. And why did you not say that this, so therefore you should have attributed to Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, who is the one that says the halacha. But then I saw another pshat, a nice pshat, is Genuvei Genuvei Lamalach. Why did you not identify that this halacha was said by Rabbi Yochanan Breiker? Even though it's not really considered Geneva, but even though it's not considered Geneva, it's still not appropriate for a person so great as you, not to attribute the halacha to one who deserves it to be attributed, says the Gemara. Then Rav Nachman says to him, Dilma, ki ka amrit, du davka shachiv, that there was a person that was about to pass away, shchimera, vamlei nechse leman, and they asked him, who should get your assets? And his response was, and the people said, Dilma Laplanya, maybe all of your assets should go to that specific individual. Vamlahu, and his response was, Elaman, of course, that's who I wanted to, but he didn't say it, who, because he didn't really say much at all. Vamratalan, and on that Rav Huna said, Imroyo Yarshoy, if this person is one of Yarshim, Naitlam Shem Yerusha, Vimlaik Lav, Naitlam Shem Matana. So here too, what you didn't say, not to tell us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, but even to tell us where the wording is so totally ambiguous, because as we just explained, he said so little that the halacha is that it's still considered a matana shchimura, to which Rav Huna said, and therefore it's not doesn't represent that he was trying to avoid giving it recognition to Rabbi Yochanan Breika. Amleis, to which Rav Huna said in Hach Kamina, that's exactly what I meant. Says the Gemara, we've been learning that we don't know if it was given as a Yerusha or as a Matana. So ask the Gemara, L'mai Hilchasa, why is it important for us to know if it's a Yerusha or Matana? And the Rav makes a very important point in this Gemara, that we learn throughout Shas, the Divrei Shchimura K'Ksuvim K'Mesurim Domi. This is another representation that Chazal were particularly lenient in the transfer of assets by Shchimura. And say the Rishonim, that this is another representation of this halacha. Because the Gemara we just learned, the man said so very little, yet it was considered an effective transfer. As we're about to learn, we have to see that's a Yerusha, a Matana, we have to see the Nafkamina, but even though he said so very little, says the Gemara, Savar of Adbarad v'kamed revelema, Imra Yarshay, if the person is getting it because of Yerusha, Amanas Nazanis Nechasov, the halacha is that if somebody passes away, so yes, his children are Yarshim, but as Amana gets Haksuba before the Yarshim get their share. Vimlav, but if it was given as a gift, so it becomes the child's at the moment the gift was given. So at the gift is a gift. And if that was, if all of his assets were given away, and then he passes away, so then the halacha will be that she won't have from where to collect, she will not have from where to collect haksuba. So is Amalei Rava, Migra Gora, says the Gemara, that does that mean that a Yerusha, he's worse off, this person who's getting this is worse off if it's being given as a Yerusha than if it was given at a Matana? Says the Gemara, that seems to be a difficult conclusion to come to. And the Gemara says why. Hashta b'Yerusha Midaraisa. When we speak about a Yerusha, which somebody's entitled to Midaraisa, it's a Daraisa concept. The halacha is, we're saying, I'm an Asun Nazaris bin Chasov, the children, the modern will still get a ksuba. We're a matana, which the concept of Divrei Shchimura K'Ksuvim K'Mesurim Domi, and that the matana that's given is a valid matana, is only with Rabbanon. So, if anything, the wife should certainly be entitled to the ksuba. And he was saying, no, it was given as a matana, she wouldn't get the ksuba. Elam Rava, says Rava, again, to the question, we're trying to identify where it's not clear if it was a Yerusha matana, what is the halachic nafkamina? Says the Gemara, Elam Rava, Kedisholach, Ravacha, Ravavia, Ledivri, Yachim, Abroika, Nichse Loch, if somebody says, I'm giving you all my assets, after I pass away, you should get my assets. And after you pass away, these assets should not go to you, it should go to this individual. So says the Gemara, now we have this big nafkamina. If the first person is a Yorish, then the halacha is Ein L'Sheni, B'Makom Rishon Klum, Shein Ela Yerush Yerusha, V'Yerusha Ein L'Hefsek. So the Gemara says like this, that when somebody, and this is the way we've explained this Gemara previously, there's a concept that we're learning in our sugya now called Yerusha Ein L'Hefsek. If somebody gets something as a Yerusha, the halacha is that Ein L'Hefsek, it remains his forever. Why? Because if I give you a gift, I can attach strings to the gift. The string I could attach to the gift is that it's only yours under these conditions, only as long as you're here. When you pass away, it won't be yours anymore. That's a condition that somebody could attach to a gift. Yerusha is not for me to attach gifts to. I can't attach strings to Yerusha because the Torah gives it to you. And if the Torah gives it to you, then it's yours. And once it's yours, even if you pass away, it will remain in yours, and it doesn't go any further, even though that's what he said when he originally gave it away. There is an interesting machlokes rishonim that I saw, that this halacha that the Gemara is teaching us here now, is it said by every Yerusha, that Yerusha ain't like hefsek, or is it only said by the Yerusha that we're learning about in our Gemara, the Yerusha of Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika? Says the Gemara, Amalei. So that's the difference if it was as a Yerusha or as a Matana. Amalei Rav Nachman, that Vayefsika. But why would the person's condition not be followed? He made it very clear that that's what he wants. Answers the Gemara, who suffer? So how is Rav saying this to Rav Nachman? Says the Gemara, because there's really a machloikus here. Who suffer? He holds yesh lehefsek. Yerusha has a hefsek. And if you hold Yerusha as a hefsek, it's no different than any other gift. And Rachmana Amma, but the Torah says that a gift has a hefsek. Rachmana Amma ain't lehefsek. That's why it does make a difference if it was received as Yerusha or received as Matana. Says the Gemara, Udam Leil Chavri. If somebody said to somebody else, Nechasei Lechob, I'm giving you my assets, V'chrech L'ploini, and after you pass away, they should go to that individual. V'risha Royal Yarsh Shehava, and the person that he gave the gift this to was somebody who could be his Yarsh, Shachav Rishon, and the person passed away, V'asva Katava, the person who the stipulation was that after you pass away, after he passes away, he gets the assets, came to ask for what he thought belonged to him legitimately. Sovereign village committed Ravala Meimar, Shani Namishakul, that indeed we should follow the instructions. Amle, Dayona de Chatzatzta. You are Dayonim that split up things. And there are different pshatim in what is the statement of Dayona de Chatzatzta. One pshat that the Rashbam says is Dayona de Chatzatzta of the word chatzatzta is from the word to split. Dayanim, they make a pshara. And here too, you're making a pshara, you're trying to make some sort of you're trying to go with a compromise position, and that's why this is what you're saying. And according to this, what he was saying was, he was actually giving him a compliment, because the Shus Yaakov says that a person should always follow a pshara. And that's the opinion of Retvaz. The Shus Yaakov, however, does say that one should try always to come up with a pshara that's as close to the din as possible. Rabbeinu Chananel says that Dayonet Chatzatzta means Dayonet of the base HaKfaris. And what you're saying, because you're obviously not following the halacha that we just learned, that Yerushalayim Hefsek. And you should be a Dayan is from the base HaKfaris. Dayana de Chatzatz de Hachidayne. Lav Haine de Sholach Rav Acha Bar Avira. Isn't this what Rav Acha Bar Avira just taught us? That a person, that if it was given to the first person, because of Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika's halacha, as a Yerusha, it stays in that, by that person and his family, and it doesn't transfer per his instructions. Says the Gemara, Ichsif. So Rav Ilish got very embarrassed. And the reason he got so very embarrassed is because he thought to himself, had this not happened, that I reported what happened, I would have issued an incorrect psak. Says the Gemara, they told him, you shouldn't feel bad. On the contrary, because from what you see here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like he's going to bring a Mashiach, the Pasuk Ani Hashem Bitech Hashena speaks to Mashiach. And just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is going to bring Mashiach, and he's going to bring Mashiach in the exact proper time. And when he's going to bring Mashiach, everything is going to be to the moment. Here too, it wasn't coincidental that I just came to you at this moment. It was Minashamayim that I was here, and that you reported to me what you wanted to say, and I was able to correct you. And like that, you didn't make a mistake. So on the contrary, what he was saying to him was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously loves you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to make sure that you shouldn't make a mistake. The Rebbeinu Chananu has a different pshat. What he meant to say to him was that he wasn't 40 years old yet. And since you're not 40 years old, you're not ready to give a psak halacha. And that's why you issued perhaps this incorrect psak. But in Mitzvah Shem, when you'll be 40 years old, which is the time where you're old enough to paskin shilas properly, then the halacha will be that you will, of course, only issue correct psakim. The Sefer Yitzchak Mishrau says it's very interesting that when we look at how Shabbos is described, Shabbos is described as Yerusha. As we say, Hamanchel Menucha La'am Yisrael B'Kedushasoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Shabbos, the Menucha Shabbos, Manchel, we receive it as a Yerusha. So he explains, why is Shabbos described as Yerusha? Shabbos should be described as a Matana. So he says, because our Gemara is teaching us that a Yerusha has a serious advantage over a Matana, because Yerusha ain't like Hefsek. The gift of Yerusha is here forever. And that's why Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell us that when I give you Shabbos, you should realize what a wonderful gift I'm giving you as Shabbos. And I'm giving you Shabbos as a Yerusha. And it's never going to, and that gift is a gift that remains forever. And that pshat in the Gemara, in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, yet call a Mahanix a Shabbos, somebody who properly enjoys Shabbos, Nois Loi Nachlu B'mi Mitzorim. He's going to get it as a Yerusha, B'li Mitzorim. The word B'li Mitzorim means that it doesn't have any borders, because it's going to be considered like a Yerusha. A Yerusha never has a end to it. There's a story where somebody said that he's leaving over a Yerusha. He wants the yeshiva to get his house as Yerusha after he's going to pass away. And the question is, what will be the halacha? And the halacha is, and then he wants to attach it to conditions. So the question is it a Yerusha Matana? It seems, based on the Gemara that we're learning in our Gemara, that since they're not Yorshim, it will be only considered a Matanah. But now the Gemara says the Mishnah, HaKosef D'chosef L'Acherim, if somebody writes over his assets to somebody else, V'neach Esponov, and he left over children, and he didn't leave over anything to his children, so the halach is Mash'os Asui, the halach is that what he did is considered halachically valid, Ella, it's something that Chazal are not satisfied with, because he took away the Yerusha that the Torah said. If his children didn't behave as they're supposed to, then Zachar Toiv, then it's considered that he did the right thing. The Knesset Gedola says that there's a difference between if he wrote it as a shchimera or he wrote it as a healthy person. And he wants to suggest that this Mishnah is only applicable if it was written as a healthy person. But the Rambam doesn't make this distinction, that the halacha that we just learned in the Mishnah is applicable under all situations. The Stei Chemet says that when the Mishnah says lacherim, so we understand as Acherim, meaning anybody besides who's supposed to be the Yorish. But what would be the halacha if the Acherim he has sons, and as we've been learning throughout our perek, if he has sons, his sons are supposed to be the Yorishim, but he left over for his daughter. Will the same halacha apply? So the Stei Chemetz says that even though the Mishnah used the word acherim, it does make a difference. If the person that he gave it to is not his Yairish, then he did the wrong thing. However, he does quote opinions that say that if he gave it to acherim, so he's going to say, he says that those opinions say that the definition of acherim means people who are strangers. But if the person he gave it to is not a stranger, it's just not the Yairish that the Torah identified, then the halacha is that the din of the Mishnah wasn't applicable. So ask the Meiri, but what happens if you have a person who, Baruch Hashem, has assets, but he's concerned that his Yarshim will not take care of it properly? So he says that that could be taken care of by the way we learned in our parak, and that is a point, an apotropis. And therefore, since he left if he leaves an apotropis, then it's that, then he can have the best of the of both worlds. The Mordechai says a very interesting statement. He said a very interesting psak. He says somebody left a Yerusha, and the way he wrote his will, he wrote was that what I left with the money that I left, the best that could be done with the money should be done with that money. Says the Mordechai, what does our Mishnah teach us? He says that our Mishnah teaches us that what is the best thing to do with your money? The best thing to do with your money is what the Torah says to do with the money. You know, people have the feeling that we have a better way of dividing our assets. He says, from here, maybe we see that, no, the best thing to do is what the Torah suggests we should do with our money. However, as we quoted in a previous year, the Meches Yitzchak says that as much as we're learning, and we're going to begin learning the sugya now, how we should be careful to give the Yerusha as the Torah said, considering a wife, that is something that is maybe that is different, and that is to be encouraged. Says the Gemara, Ibailu, how do we learn? Ask the Gemara, how do we learn Peshat in the Mishnah? Is there machlokes between the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan disagree with Shimon Gamliel or not? Tashma, the Yosh ben Yosef Hayle ben, he had a son, Shaloi Hayop Noi Kishura. He had a son that didn't act as he's supposed to. Havle Ilse the Dinri. He had an attic, says the Gemara, he had an attic full of money. And what happened was, come Agdisha, he didn't want this son who didn't act appropriately to get that money, so he was Magdish all of the contents of that attic. Also, and then this son, Nosser Bas Gadil Klili Diyane Malka, he married the daughter of the person who made the crowns for Yane HaMelech. Elida Devisa and his wife had a baby, and Zavonli Ben Nisa, and he bought a fish that she should have to eat the fish. Kara, when they opened up the fish, Ashkaba Mergulosa, they found this beautiful diamond. Amalei, so she said to him, he wanted to go sell this diamond. Loi Tamtel Malka, who is the natural customer for this diamond? The king, because he needs diamonds. And the king is going to cheat you. And as the Mefarshim explained, she knew that she knew about that because her father behaved this. Her father was in that position, and since the father was in that position, she knew how these things work. Loi tistayla malka, the shakel mevadimik clearly. She won't pay you. He won't be honest in giving you what it's worth. Zil amta l'gav gizbari. Go to the treasures of the Beis Hamikdash, and then she said to him, and they'll use it for the Urim and Tumim. And the Mefarshim point out that even though at that point this was the second Beis Hamikdash, the Urim and Tumim wasn't operational, What it means when we say it wasn't operational, it means that they didn't get the answers from the Urim and Tumim. But it was still one of the big day kahuna, and they needed the stones. And then she said, don't say anything, because once you obligate yourself, then you're going to have to follow what you obligate yourself, because there's a rule of Amirasul Gvoya Kimisrasul Hegdish, that as soon as you say it, you, when it comes to Hegdish, you become obligated. There are many explanations why Amirasul Gvoya Kimisrasul Hegdish, because normally, explains the Yerushalmi, what happens when we do a transaction? We're transferring something from our possession to someone else's possession, and that has to be done properly. When we're transferring something to Hegdish, which is a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since the Pasuk says, Lashem Aretz Meloyoi, so wherever we're giving it to Hegdish, Hegdish is there already, it becomes easier to make that transfer, and therefore Amrasul Gvoya Kimsrasul Lahegdish, Amrasul Lagvaya Kimsrasul Hegdish, it's considered as if once we say it, it's considered that it's ready by Hegdish. The Rashbam says, because the Pasuk says the Ish Kiyagdish is Beisai Kaidish. There's a special halach in the Torah that as soon as you magdish it, it becomes Hegdish. The Rosh explains that since the Torah says regarding Hegdish, Maitse Svasecha Maitzis Vasecha Tishmar, what the Torah is teaching us is that Maitzis Vasecha, as soon as you utter the words, as soon as you utter the words, then what you're saying is that it's Hegdish. Another pshat that I saw is that what is the point of a kinyan? The point of a kinyan is that a seriousness of intent. When somebody is giving something to Hegdish, we certainly have that seriousness. And since we certainly have that seriousness, the need to make a kinyan that we discuss so often is not applicable. I saw another pshat that Chassidishavart, Amrasul Gvoya Kimsrasul Hegdish, what is meant to teach us is that when we say something like Gvoya, when we say it Dvar Torah, or we give tzedakah, amirasul gavaya kamirasul hedjit, it should be done, whatever we do, it should be done with incredible mesiras nefesh. The way we're supposed to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we learn or we daven is kamirasoi, together with mesiras nefesh. And when it's done, when it's coupled with mesiras nefesh, then that's the way it's going to be done. So says the Gemara, he followed his wife's advice, and he brought his diamond to Hegdish. Shemur b'tleisa leisu d'dinri, and they evaluated that it was worth 16 attics full of coins. Amrile, but the gizborim of Hegdish said to him, Sheva ikka, we out of the 13 attics full of coins, we have 7. Shitleka, but we're missing 6 from the 13. Amalhu, so he said to them, the son of Yosef ben Yezer, Sheva Havli, give me the 7 that you have, Shit, and the remaining 6 that I am entitled to, Harei Mekdash L'Shamayim, he's being managed in L'Shamayim. Amdu V'kosu, at that time, they wrote, Yosef ben Yezer, Hichnes Achas, Yosef ben Yezer, only gave 1, and Ubenoi, but his son, Hichnes Sheish, gave 6. So the son that he sort of disparaged and thought, what's going to be from the son, look what he ended up doing. And this Gemara is the basis for famous Rashbam, and that is that Mefarsim Oisim Mitzvah, if somebody does stock or somebody does a mitzvah, we're supposed to publicize it. Just like we find that when Reuven attempted to save Yosef, the Torah tells us about it. Because Mefarsimim, the Torah wants to tell us when somebody does something good. This is another point that Mefarsimim I say mitzvah. The Ritva says that we shouldn't necessarily learn pshat in this Gemara that way, but rather What happened over here, says the Ritva, is that the Gabai of the Hegdish, when he was writing and keeping his notes and his books, that's where he wrote it, but it's not necessarily something that we have to be mefarsim. Another pshat, perhaps, is because they wanted to show that his father, as we're learning here, did not do the right thing. So that's why there was a need to publicize it. But it doesn't mean that in all circumstances it should be publicized. His father was Magdish, one aliyah, ubenoi haitzi sheva. He says that the son took everything away from Hegdish, and that wasn't necessarily appropriate. Says the Gemara, midakamer hichnis, from the fact that he says that he gave six, bichlal, the shaper of it, that he did, that what the Gemara is assuming, that he did the right thing, that he gave one. The Gemara is just identifying how much the father gave, and then how much the son gave. Says the Gemara, no. Ad rabba, midakamer hoitzi, bichlal, the lav shaper of it. We could say that he didn't do the right thing. And therefore, this story cannot be a proof is the right thing to do or not if by giving away a Yerusha to somebody else. Says the Gemara, El Mahalak Mishmanov. In this story, we can't come to any conclusion. So ask the Gemara, my have a law. What is the halacha? So is it appropriate to give away, when you see that children, Yerushim, aren't behaving the way they're supposed to, is it appropriate to give it away or not? Says the Gemara, Toshmah, Domalei Shmuel Rav Yudah, Shinana, he used to call him Shinana, the two pshatim, why? One is because he was very sharp. Another pshat is that he, Shinana, that he had sharp teeth. And he said, Shinana, Loitavabay Avurich Santa, I never want you to participate when Yerusha is being taken away from one child, from a proper Yerush to somebody else. And even he said, Mibrabisha Labaratava, even if it's being taken away from a son who doesn't behave properly and being given to the son that does happen to behave properly, because Mibra Labarta, and you shouldn't participate when it's being taken from a son to a daughter. And therefore what he was saying is that everybody agrees that the Allah, that one should not participate. And as I saw, the Levush suggests that it may be an Issa Daraisa, because the Torah taught us that this is the way the Yerusha should be distributed. And once the Torah said that this is the way the Yerusha should be distributed, we must follow what the Torah says. The Knesset Gedolah says, but as we've been learning throughout our Perek, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika is that if you're giving it to someone who is a Yoirish, just you're giving him more than the percentage that he's entitled to, that might not be considered in this category. It's only in a case where you're giving it to somebody who isn't supposed to be a Yoirish at all. The Sefer Michas Pitim quotes Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid that says that if the other brothers don't know about it, then it may not be the same Isser. And he also, and the Tashbatz wants to suggest that what the Gemara here means that you shouldn't give it away to different Yerush is only if you're giving away the entire Yerusha. But if you're not giving away the entire Yerusha, the halacha would not apply. The Chasam Sofer disagrees. The Hilchos Ketanis points out that this halacha is particularly appropriate to Bechor. The Torah says that on the contrary, it's only by other sons. But the Bechaira is not Yerusha, as we learned in our Perek a number of times. The Bechaira is a Matana. And since it's a Matana, therefore, it could be treated differently and the Bechaira could be given away. There are also, the Maritz says, that it only applies by real estate, because the Ikka Yerusha is by real estate. But when we're not speaking about real estate, other assets, this halacha won't apply. So, of course, many mefarshim ask the question that we find that Avraham Avinu gave all of the Yerusha to Yitzchak. So how was he allowed to give everything away to a different Yairish when the pas where we just learned the Gemara, you're not supposed to do that. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is, the Dasakadim says, that because he gave, as the Torah says, Udl b'nei palakshim nosu matanos, he gave them gifts. So since he gave them gifts, so he did fulfill the Yerusha that way. The Kaft of Aferach says that that they were gerim, and Avram was a gerim, Yishma was a ger, and Alochi is gershin is gai, kikata shenayla dami, so they're not really considered relatives. The Re'aim explains was because the Pasuk says, kibi Yitzchak yikar l'chazara. And by the Torah telling Avram Avinu that kibi Yitzchak yikar l'chazara, and that Yitzchak should get the entire Yerusha, so that's what the Torah want, that's what the Kadosh Baruch wanted them to do in this situation. The Maral says a similar type of thought. He says that what Yitzchak, that the Torah says, that kol asha'im l'chazara shma b'kayla, that whatever Sarah tells you, that's what you should do. And that's what Sarah told Avram Avinu to do. So he was given a direct command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do what she says. Another pshat that the Yifei Torah says, that Avram Avinu did what we've been what would be described as a halachic will. And halachic will means that everything should be given away from as when he's still alive as a gift. Since everything was given away when he was alive as a gift, so that isn't a Yerusha. And since that isn't considered a Yerusha, it was allowed to be given away. But then I saw a beautiful pshat. Why is the reason that indeed one should not give the Yerusha to a child who's not, give it to the child who's not behaving properly? In fact, I did see a Maram Shik. The Maram Shik says that if the Yerush, that it's supposed to be the Yerush, became an apikiris, then the halacha of this Gemara wouldn't apply. But why is the halacha that we should not take it away from the child that isn't acting properly to give it to the child that is acting properly? The answer is because we don't know ultimately who's going to be the child from that will have more nachas. Maybe the child that we thought is not going to be a great source of nachas ends up being a great source of nachas. And if it's not him, it's his children, that means descendants of the person who left the Yerusha. That's possible by every person. But Yishmael, we knew and we know that there's nothing good that's going to come out of Yishmael. So the concern that Avram Avinu maybe should have, well, I'm taking away Yerusha from Yishmael, but maybe something good is going to come out of Yishmael, that wasn't something that Avram Avinu knew is even a possibility. And that's why he was allowed to pass the Yerusha from Yishmael to Yitzchak.